college and pro overreactions from the weekend. And we start in college. Georgia, really? Georgia won't win the SEC this season. It will be the Texas Longhorns. Georgia struggled in their first true road game of the year, a one-point win at Kentucky. When Texas played on the road, they won by 19 points. Elite O-line, they'll host Georgia. Georgia still has to go to Bama and Ole Miss, as well as a date with Tennessee. Two losses means they might not even be in the SEC title game. John?
I think it's an overreaction. I think Georgia is still, in my opinion, the best team in the country, even though I had a chance to see Texas up close and personal. I haven't analyzed everything about Georgia. I don't know how good or bad they're all. I know they struggled up front a little bit against Kentucky.
Yep.
And what I saw from Texas is their offensive line is damn good. It'll be interesting to see. You know, it sounds like Quinn Ewers isn't as hurt as originally thought, but Arch Manning looked pretty damn good too.
Yeah, he definitely has his grandfather's DNA and not his uncle's. 60-yard scamper?
Yes.
A lot of these teams have losses or wins like this on their season, and you forget about it. I go back to the Michigan win over Illinois 2 years where I thought they were really lucky to win the game.
Oh, they were.
Overreaction. Georgia will lose a regular season game, but they will win the SEC championship game.
Is that me? Wisconsin football won't make a bowl game for the first time since 2001, and it will lead to them ditching the air raid offense. They are dead last in explosive plays among Power 4 teams. This was an issue before Bama came to town, before Tyler Van Dyke got injured.
Yeah.
Wisconsin football run game has been non-existent. They took a blue-collar, corn-fed, Midwestern values program, and they brought vegan cheese, this air raid offense, to Madison.
Ugh.
Yeah, I think they're a 5-7 team with losses to Bama, USC, Rutgers, it's a road game, Penn State, at Iowa, Oregon, and at Nebraska.
I'm not ready. I think that's a little bit of an overreaction. I think they can still get 6 wins. I don't know if they're going to be able to find a way to beat USC. I'll give you that one. Rutgers?
It's a road game. That's a physical program. It's everything Wisconsin used to be.
Used to be. And
Manungai is a Badger who's playing out in Rutgers.
When you start messing with a team's identity. Yeah. And that was the big question I had when they said, hey, we're going to go air raid. And I was shocked that Luke Fickle is going this route. He's never done that before. It's never been part of his DNA. And I'm shocked that he would get the job in Wisconsin and then try and implement this. I think they do make a bowl game. I'm not going to sit there and say they lose to Rutgers, even though, yeah, it's a road game. It's physical. I think they still find a way. But without Tyler Van Dyke, it's going to be tough.
I mean, it's right on the line here. I'm going to say it's not an overreaction. They will not make a bowl game because they did go away from their identity and culture. I mean, and I think the problem I have with them doing it when they did it when realignment was happening.
Yeah.
And I fear that this might be one of those programs that gets lost in the shuffle with these huge conferences. A respected program, and they made the choice to change what they did best at the wrong time.
It depends on how long they stick with it. Is Luke Fickle going to say, you know what, hey, we tried it. We're going to move on? Or do they just say, hey, Luke, thanks, but we're moving on?
Okay, do they have the players to do that then? Because can you actually go to be a physical team if you've started to recruit different players to have an air raid offense? I mean, it's sort of, this reminds me of Rich Rod.
Yeah.
Both Nebraska and Indiana will finish with a better record than Michigan. Both are 3-0, headed for 8 or 9 win seasons. There's some juice with those programs right now. Michigan, staring down the barrel of 5 losses with big questions at quarterback, questions about the defense, and questions with their discipline, the penalties.
So, an overreaction? No. I think Nebraska certainly could. I don't think Indiana will. So, I'm gonna split the uprights on that one.
That's the key, though, is the game between Michigan and Indiana decides whether this comes true or not.
And that
game
is down in Bloomington.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say overreaction for now, too. Maybe on Nebraska, but this whole... This reminds me of when Stoney always used to endorse Indiana, and then they would fall off the cliff. I just can't, until I see it, I don't believe it.
Hey, they didn't have this coach that you got to Google. All he does is win. The Arizona Cardinals are a playoff team. The Cardinals have the number two scoring offense in football, very good on third down, good run game, and Kyler Murray finally has a number one receiver. Threw for 200-plus yards, 300 total yards. The Birds made the playoffs with 11 wins in 2021, and they are back in the postseason this year.
That's a really, I don't know if it's an overreaction. I'm not a Kyler Murray fan, but I think as Marvin Harrison Jr., as we saw yesterday, as he gets more involved in this offense, I think there is a world where Kyler Murray at least runs around enough to give him time to get open. I'm not a believer that Seattle is a playoff team, even though they're 2-0 right now.
Same.
San Francisco, I was surprised that they lost to Minnesota. And I'm shocked at Minnesota. But in the Rams being 0-2.
And they lost Cup, and they already are without Nacua.
Yeah.
Cardinals.
I think the Cardinals could be the second team in that division, but it all depends on what happens in the so NFC East. I think there's probably only one team that ends up making it out of there. I'm gonna call my shot now. I don't think it's overreaction. I don't know that Dallas does.
Oh wow.
I think there could be two, if not three, teams in the NFC North that make the playoffs.
I'm not surprised to see this at all. They were my super sleeper.
Uh-huh.
I thought they were sitting in a nice position. I thought they were better than their record was last year. And I think they've tried to save face with Kyler. And then I love the way Harrison stepped up right after such an awful game last week.
Yep.
I still think it's an overreaction for now because it's just too early. I don't know what we've got in Dallas for sure. I'm not quite sure what's happening in Green Bay. Is Minnesota this fluky, weird team that's going to be good? Just too early to say they're in the playoffs.
The QB bubble is going to pop. Dak Prescott gets paid $60 million a year, throws two interceptions and a blowout loss. Tua, before the scary injury, three interceptions. He got paid this offseason, ugly loss. Trevor Lawrence, one total touchdown. The Jags are 0-2 and have lost seven of their last eight games. Throwing Goff, who got paid this offseason, has not looked good the first 2 weeks. Teams are going to decide we shouldn't be handing out 4- and 5-year deals paying this kind of money. We're better off tagging, reevaluating, and maintaining flexibility unless we have Mahomes or one of the elite guys.
Well, you left off Daniel Jones and what he's done since he's been paid. Jalen Hurts and how they fell apart at the end of last year after he got paid. I don't think it's going to pop because I think quarterbacks are still going to get paid. And I do, whether or not you want to make, you know, say that it was a mistake, it wasn't a mistake. Brad Holmes is spot on when he said it's a lot easier to get worse at that position than it is better.
You didn't mention Cousins, did you?
No, I didn't, but I suppose you could.
It's kind of interesting. Here's my deal. Don't be afraid to have a backup plan when you commit to these second-tier guys.
Michael Penix?
Not yet.
Hendon Hooker.
However, you also didn't mention.
Who said
stop
that?
Stop it!
That's out of line. Strike that from the record. Who said that?
You guys also didn't mention, though, Burrow and Lamar. And they're both 0-2. You know, and are they playing quite as bad as some of these other guys with the picks? No. But in general, I think it's an overreaction because I think what's happened is I think the defensive coordinators are winning the day in the NFL 2 weeks into the season. That a lot of teams are trying to do what they used to do, and you can't keep doing it. You got to change it up offensively.
Aiden Hutchinson will win Defensive Player of the Year. 100-plus pressures a year ago, but everybody said, yeah, you got to turn it into sacks. He has 5.5 through 2 weeks, headed for a 15-20 sack season on a good team where he demands doubles and chips. He will win Defensive Player of the Year.
I don't think it's an overreaction. I don't know if that ultimately ends up happening, how consistent can he be? I mean, he plays more snaps than almost anybody else in the NFL defensively, and he plays them at such a high level. Can he stay healthy another year to be able to make that happy for as much as he's on the field? And, I mean, he's not going to be facing a lot of quarterbacks like Stafford that get that ball out so quickly. He could have even more at this time.
Overreaction for now. Still think TJ Watt's the favorite. I don't know what he did statistically yesterday because I was out for my mom's birthday after the Lions game.
Happy birthday.
But I know they shut them down in general, and he was a beast in the game in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the reputation.
The NFL has figured out Ben Johnson. In the offseason, Mike Sando of ESPN talked to anonymous executives, and one predicted this, saying Ben Johnson's offense had been the most studied in the league. Teams taking away the middle of the field, forcing flats and checkdowns. He's got to adjust because they figured him out.
Oh, he does have to adjust. There's no question. You got to adjust. You got to find ways. I mean, how does Travis Kelce continue to get targets and balls when he's a Hall of Fame tight end, still playing? You know the ball is going to him. Patrick Mahomes still finds a way. And there's times where he's just wide open. Like, there are still ways to get Sam Laporta the ball. It took a week to get Amon-Ra St. Brown the ball. Now, J-Mo, that's been a nice find. That's been a nice addition. But you telling me that not having Josh Reynolds is all of a sudden the kryptonite to Ben Johnson?
I like what I saw from Tim Wright in limited action yesterday, by the way, yeah. And I think he's going to fill that void long term. I'm not panicking about the Lions. No. However, I do think Ben Johnson's been figured out, and I think almost every OC gets figured out.
Sure.
Unless you have Mahomes or Kelce, you're going to get figured out, and you have to counter with your playbook. And he's going to have to counter. It's like an ace in baseball. Even aces, when they first come into the league, get figured out. It happened with Justin Verlander. That's why he had a fall off 07. Then you have to counter, okay? It's time for Ben Johnson to come up with some new creative play calls and get the defense moving around in places, and then you can go back to your bread and butter.
Can't believe someone suggested Hendon Hooker. That was ridiculous.
Goff I didn't
deserves
say it.
Way more leash than that. That we come on, we can't have that. Those are overreact, Jims. It's 97.1.
I've been talking about David Femeninio, injury attorney David Femeninio, and his team for some time now, and I've told you, hey, different seasons. There's different risks on the road. We know what they are at the end of summer right now, but just listen to some of the results that David and his team have gotten for injured clients. $3.5 million for one, $5 million for another, $11.5 million for a client. You need an attorney that is going to fight relentlessly for you, and it's got a great team behind him. You can call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH or you always go to the website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Deeply disappointing Lions loss, a day where they nearly doubled up the Bucs in yardage, a day where Aiden Hutchinson sacks a quarterback 4+ times. They lose. Only give up 20 points. And they lose. And there are no shortages of people to blame. Dan Campbell said, it's 100% on me. It's not. I can appreciate him taking ownership of the just catastrophic mistake to end the first half. But it is not solely on Dan Campbell. And for that, we're going to play the blame game. All right, John. Our contestants on the blame game. We'll start with Dan Campbell. Tall, burly individual is the guy most responsible for the blunder at the end of the first half. Why is the field goal team running out onto the field? It's third down. You can spike the ball, something the offense intended to do. No timeouts, 10-second runoff. Those 3 points loomed large late in a football game. Instead of needing a touchdown, given the way your defense was playing, you may have only needed a field goal. So Dan is contestant one on the blame game.
And rightfully so. When you think about all of the different basics in that play, it's not fourth down. It's third down. You can't spike the ball. You can stop the clock. Even though you don't have a timeout, there's plenty of time to get up on the ball. There's more time. There's enough time to get up on the ball, spike it. There's not enough time to get everybody off and everybody back on for the field goal to make that a possibility.
Contestant number two. One of seven in the red zone for the Lions, and his play calling is way too cute. Two times as many pass as run with no Vita Vea. Someone's got to throw something in there for Sam Laporta. Ben Johnson, the next contestant on the blame game.
I don't think Ben Johnson is adjusting enough to what defenses are doing for him or doing to him. And I also don't think that he was dialed in to the personnel that was on the field. Now, you're always going to be dialed into, okay, are they? How many defensive backs are on the field? How many defensive linemen are on the field? But you've got to be tuned into who those defensive linemen are. You can't miss the fact that the biggest dude on the field is no longer there. When he's not there, you know, in terms of breaking down a defense, how many yards per carry do you get when Vita Vea is in the game? Yep. How many yards per carry do teams other than the Detroit Lions get when Vita Vea is not there? And they also didn't have Kalijah Kancey playing in the game. That in and of itself, you're looking at it going, okay, they don't have Kalijah Kancey. Let's run the ball a little bit. We can run away from Vita Vea. Maybe we don't attack right behind Frank. Now all of a sudden he's not there. Now it opens up every single hole across the offensive and defensive front.
They ran for 5 yards a carry, yet passed it 55 times. Ben Johnson, third contestant on the blame game. Yeah, Jared, well, you threw two interceptions, zero touchdowns, and you mismanaged the clock at the end of the half, and more importantly, the end of regulation. Jared Goff probably could have thrown three or four picks if not for some drops by the Bucs secondary. John, Jared Goff to blame.
There's plenty of blame to go around, and there's more contestants in the blame game, but he's going to take what the defense offers him. And I thought the pass to J-Mo for the 50-yard reception was a beautiful pass. Yep. There were other ones to Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I text you guys right in the moment. Amon-Ra St. Brown is running away from him in the flat. It's a very hard ball to throw. And, you know, yes, you should be able to complete it, but he hit him in stride. He hit it. It was a small window to allow him to gain yards after that catch. But then you have moments where he throws the ball in the middle of the field, and what was that? Why were you throwing it there, and it's an interception? Or it's throwing it to a receiver that's open 6 yards. You know you need eight on fourth down, and yeah, you want a player to make a play. But there was, to me, it goes back to Ben Johnson. There was no one else open. That's where he had to go with the ball.
Yeah. So where do you guys settle in on this? Who is the guy that you blame the most? 248-539-9797. Play the blame game with us. You can divvy it up beyond that. But who's the person that gets the biggest slice of pie after that game? You said Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I think that's where I put a lot of this.
I think it's Ben Johnson, too. Followed by Jared Goff. Followed by Dan Campbell. I don't put him one or two in this. And I know it was a completely unacceptable. And he's not going to defend it. He's not going to try to explain it. Terrible decision to end the first half. They had four possessions late in that game with a chance to take the lead. Punt, pick, downs. That's Johnson.
And those four possessions are ones when Vita Vea wasn't on the field.
Correct. That's Ben Johnson. That's Jared Goff. That's supposed to be the strength of this football team. Right? Jared Goff got his big contract. He's the guy. Close game. At home. All the toys. Everybody healthy.
I don't care about the size of his contract.
Well, but you know that does lead to higher expectations.
Oh, sure. But I think he can go out there and make all the throws. He can make all. But you're only going to be able to run the plays that are being. The route trees are what they are. And the week one, it was Amon-Ra St. Brown. How come we can't get the ball to him? Then we force it to him. Was it 19 targets?
Yep.
11 catches? But where is Sam Laporta? Like, it shouldn't take three games to hit your stride in making players available to your quarterback. It didn't take three games last year. This is where I go back to, okay, Ben Johnson, you have a different set of weapons this year. Yes, I know a lot of the cast of characters are the same, but you add in a Jameson Williams. You've been able to utilize him but at the cost of not utilizing Sam Laporta, not moving the chains. A 50-yard reception is great. I love it. Hey, stretch the field. Show that threat. But it should open up more things for all of the guys that you had talked about. But correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Week one.
Yeah.
How did they win that game at the very end?
John, they ran the football.
So coming off of that, now I know, hey, Tampa, hey, Todd Bowles, really good defensive coordinator, defensive mind.
Yeah, sure.
You're going to try and stop the run. Mm-hmm. But they weren't stopping the run, not effectively. And one three and out or one stoppage of, hey, you know, you gain 0 yards on this play. If it takes that to pull away or to get you out of your game plan, how fragile is the game plan?
Yeah, and you can vote on this, by the way. We're going to make this a poll question on Twitter. Costa and Jansen on Twitter. Who is most to blame for this loss for the Detroit Lions? Campbell, Ben Johnson, Jared Goff. And if it's somebody else or you want to make the case on the phones, 248-539-9797. Some early ticket texts. This BS is 100% on Goff. He had two terrible drives where he looked like LA Rams Jared Goff when they stopped protecting him. He was crap. 60% Ben Johnson. Poor game plan. Way too many mistakes. The other 40% goes to Goff, none to Dan Campbell. Goff forced the ball to too many guys instead of taking what was given. Bill on his way to work, sad. Goff all day for the most blame, no questions. What about the media? Just a small percentage. We had to hear all week that Tampa didn't have any corners, they didn't have any safeties, who was going to stop them? At this point, I think maybe the division, even though maybe the division is in jeopardy. I know I'm not panicking, LOL Joe in White Lake. Yeah, sure. Give us a percentage. No, in all reality, I put Ben Johnson number one because of what you said. There's no way that should be a 55 pass attempt game. If the Lions were trailing by three scores, I get it. All right, you're trailing. You're going to have to throw the ball. You're in a one-score game. No way should they have 55 pass attempts in that game. That's not playing to Jared Goff's strengths. He is not an elite quarterback. He's not. And I think they maybe acted like he was. There's no way he should be throwing 55 passes.
Well, the pass protection hasn't been what I would expect it to be. That offensive line hasn't performed. You know, has it been bad? No. But has it been to the level that you would expect when we went into the season talking about this offensive line as the top offensive line in the NFL? It hasn't been to that level. All right, so let's bump them down to top five. That's where I'm going with that. But when you have a game plan in place, and I'm fine with attacking the secondary, you have, you know, Antoine Winfield Jr. is out. You've got another guy that was in concussion protocol up until, was it Friday?
Yep.
And I'm a game plan, attack and go deep with the ball. Make sure you test them. But then also you have to be able to adjust it during the game. And when the run is working, you can keep running the ball. When their top defensive run stopper is not in the game, you can attack. It's not like it was a two-score lead. They were never down two scores.
Bunch of ticket texts, pages of ticket texts to read, phone calls to get to. You guys on hold, we'll get to you coming up next. The blame game, who do you blame most? Lions, deeply disappointing loss. It's 97.1.
Hey, looking for ways to level up your fitness? Well, the YMCA is always welcoming new members with no contract and no joiner fees. I'm loving the YMCA family membership with access to indoor pools, Les Mills group fitness, hundreds of machines, all with free child watch while you work out, and for less than $3 a day. And today, you can go and try the Y for free. Visit any of the 7 Metro Detroit locations and get a free guest pass. Learn more at ymcadetroit.org and find what moves you today.
Hell of a play. The defense played great. 200 and change given up. Two touchdowns. Pass rush got home. Defense got a takeaway. That makes it all that more frustrating that they lost that football game.
It does. And, you know, especially when, I mean, going into the season, the question was going to be, can the secondary hold up? Can there be pass rush that actually gets home, not just pressure? Were you going to see improvement from Campbell? Still a good level of play from Anzalone, Derek Barnes. And, you know, we've seen all of that. And we kept thinking, if they just pair that with this elite offense. Where is the elite offense?
I'm still looking. We're all still searching.
You upgraded on the offensive line. Pass protection hasn't been as good. Now, is it just a matter of, hey, they got to continue to work together in the run game? And that's where Kevin Zeitler, he excels. Penei Sewell excels. Graham Glasgow, Frank Ragnow, they excel in the run game. So why don't we see more of the run game?
5 yards a carry. Their big nose tackle's not in the game. You had 4 drives in that second half,
their
fourth
top
quarter.
2 defensive linemen are not in the game. One of them didn't even dress. Kalijah Kancey.
John, it's why I put Ben Johnson and you put Ben Johnson as the guy most to blame for this loss. And I know Dan Campbell's a leader, and I can respect him coming out saying it's on him, but he's covering for his guys. And I see through it, and I see other people as bigger culprits. I mean, hell, I think Jared Goff should face a lot of heat today.
Sure, through 2 interceptions. And he's ultimately the one that is responsible for making those around him better.
Correct.
That's what good quarterbacks, veteran quarterbacks do. How do you make Sam LaPorta better? And now, if you don't have the opportunity because he's in blocking, now that's on Ben Johnson.
Yes.
But I saw him, I've seen him this year make Jameson Williams better. Amon-Ra St. Brown in this game was the Amon-Ra St. Brown that we've seen the last few years.
Yep.
But you've got to make all of those players in concert with each other better for what this offense is expected to be.
Yeah. Let's get to Marcus in East Point. Marcus, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning. My blame, number one, goes squarely on the quarterback. Guy's been playing quarterback for probably 25 or so years, and he can't figure out that on the second down with 11 seconds left, that ball doesn't go in the end zone. It has to go into the ground. He's got to be smarter than that no matter what happens around him. He's been doing it for too long. And he's not a progression quarterback at all. I mean, last week, Jamo had a great game because they force-fed him. This week, St. Brown had a great game because they force-fed him. Next week, LaPorta will probably have a great game because he's trying to compensate for not giving him the ball the first 2 weeks, so he'll get 12 targets. He can't look off a guy or throw to the next guy. It's all main guy or check down. He doesn't have any progression.
He is a guy who's limited. We've had these discussions and these debates. You got to protect him. Things have to be such that he can be successful.
So I'll push back on that a little bit. First of all, the progression is, yes, you if your main guy's not there, you go to the next one
right,
or two, and one of them is a check down. So he does go through a progression.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we saw him be able to go from 1, 2 to 3.
Yeah.
And you know, 3 and even 4 sometimes was Josh Reynolds. So we've seen him go through the progression. I'm not going to take any pressure off Jared Goff. He has to play better. And I think he will. And I also think this offense will be better. This is not what I believe they're going to be this year. But I think the offensive line has to protect better. One of the things that we know about Goff, right? Goff is not a Patrick Mahomes, I'm going to go out there and win with any tools I've been given. He's a guy that needs the Goff-proof the offense.
Right.
And the protection last year, in large part, was excellent. And it has not been that same level this year. O-line has to step up.
The second pick that Jared Goff threw, he had pressure coming up the middle.
Yeah.
He hurried the throw. There was nobody where he was throwing the ball. Nobody even close to where he was throwing the ball. He didn't want to get hit, and he wanted to get the ball out, and he threw it early, and he threw it in harm's way, and it was a dumb interception. Jared Goff, under pressure, is one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. We tracked it. There's stats for it. All last season, when he's pressured, when it's real pressure, and I would imagine up the middle is the worst kind of pressure for Jared because he doesn't have the mobility to do anything about it, he is terrible. Now, you can accent it because you gave him the best offensive line in football. And you have a play caller who is regarded as one of the best in the game. And all these little trinkets who get the ball and can do stuff with it yards after the catch. But let's call him what he is. If he gets pressured, he folds. Statistically, folds. When things are just right for him, he's more than good enough to win you playoff games and I think a Super Bowl.
But him throwing it 55 times is not a recipe to win games. And maybe we're kind of reaching a point where should you be paying a quarterback that kind of money if you can't put the game on his shoulders? I don't know if we need to do that today. I think it's as simple as the game plan should have been run the ball more. Take the pressure off your quarterback. Play to his strengths. I think it's more Ben Johnson than Jared Goff. 248-539-9797. Vincent Taylor, you got thoughts. You're on 97.1.
Did you say Vince? Yeah, Dan, but that's all right.
Dan, your floor is yours.
Yeah, that's okay. Hey, you guys, the elite offense plays for the Rams. I'm sorry, I'm a Matthew Stafford fan. I didn't like the trade to begin with, but
he's 0-2. He's 0-2.
Goff was great. He was great last year. This year, right now, the way they're playing, they should be 0-2, maybe 0-3 next weekend, and Jared Goff is playing horrible. The play calling is horrible. The receivers can't get open. I mean, just call it like it is. I don't want to say a bust for this year, but they're not the same Lions as last year. And they can rip off 3, 4, 5 losses really quick before they find it, and it's over. So we have no backup quarterback. So either Goff gets it together, or the line holds, the receivers get open. I don't know, guys.
They have more than enough tools to go out and win this
division. I think it's clear to say the glass is half empty for you, right?
Oh, sorry.
Okay, yes. I think we could all answer that question for him. I still think the glass is half full.
I was going to say, there's more than enough tools here. They have the personnel to still get this right, win 10, 12, even your 14 wins. Less likely, but still there. Win the division, win playoff games, win the Super Bowl. The tools are all still there for this football team.
Was he participating in overreactions? Because I think that's taking too far. There's a lot of teams that have a lot bigger problems in the NFL right now that were expected to do something than the Lions.
Right, think about
to
who
me,
lost
this is
week.
Fixable.
Well, think about who lost this week. The Niners lost this week. The Cowboys lost this week. The Ravens lost this week. The Bengals lost this week. These are teams that have playoff and beyond aspirations.
Yeah. To me, guys, I think it is Goff. And I go to two stats that I think show that he has not been good enough this year. He's 24th in QB rating. He's 24th in QBR. So whichever one you desire to choose, I know there's debates on both sides. Bottom line is, he's a bottom quarterback in this league after 2 weeks. And if he was just average, he'd probably win yesterday. They probably look better against the Rams. Probably doesn't go OT. He looks to me, I hate using this word, and it's not even all the way to the degree of happy feet. He looks a little unsettled back there. He looks a little indecisive. And I agree with John. To me, it is some of that's on Ben Johnson. Some of it's on protection. He's got to be better, though. The stats show he isn't good enough, and that's where it needs to improve. And I think they've got to get LaPorta involved. I mean, you know, last year 120 targets. This year he's on pace for 68. I mean, seriously, that's huge.
Well, and again, red zone. First red zone possession of the football game. It's first and 10 from the 10. Incomplete pass. Second and 10, they run for 7 yards. Wow. Hey, maybe file that away for later in the game. 7 yards in the red zone. Third and 3. Why don't you just run it again? And if you don't get it, you're probably setting up fourth and short, and you're going to go for it again and play to the strength of your team. It's what we just saw them do in overtime. I don't care if Vita Vea is in the game. You have a great offensive line. It makes late in the game even more maddening when Vita Vea wasn't there. But very first red zone possession, it's 3rd and 3. They decide not to go back to the run. They pass the ball with Sam LaPorta setting the edge as a blocker. John, that's can't happen. If you're going to throw the ball in the red zone, Sam LaPorta has to go out on a route, even if he doesn't get the ball, just to pull a linebacker and a safety and a tension and give yourself a chance for a one-on-one to J-Mo. Instead, it's incomplete. It's 4th and 3. They kick a field goal, and it was the story of the game. They couldn't get it done in the red zone. It was set very early in the game.
It was. And if just bringing an extra rusher is all it takes to get Sam LaPorta out of a route.
Teams are going to do that all day. It's a good trade-off for them.
And so you've got to find other ways to, you know, and we saw it last year. He can be your hot route. He can be the guy that if they bring an extra guy, I'm going immediately to Sam LaPorta because what? He has great hands. His awareness is there. He can catch it under duress. And even after he catches it, he can make something happen.
Phone calls to get to 248-539-9797. We're playing a little blame game, just general reactions. Lions lose their first game of the season, and it was a disappointing loss. Deeply disappointing the way they lost. It's 97-1.
Hey, we're all concerned about our finances at different times. We all have conversations about how to manage our finances. And when you're thinking about those, you should be banking with First Merchants Bank. You need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank there. That's why I think you should be banking there as well. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants Bankers are attentive. They're going to take the time to get to know you and work with you to build a financial plan that fits your unique situation. And when you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. These are a lot of the reasons why I decided to go with First Merchants Bank. They are also deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
It's going to be like this call volume wise. We probably should do news earlier in the hour on Mondays because now we're.
It's Dan Miller's call. It's 97.1. It's your phone calls. 248-539-9797. Reaction to that game by the Lions. A loss. Disappointing loss. Didn't see it coming. Outplayed Tampa for a large part of that game, but could not finish in the red zone. Blame pie. Dan Campbell says it's all on me. As much as he wants to own it, his team had plenty of chances to overcome his blunder. And I put it on Ben Johnson. You put it on Ben Johnson. There's nobody saying nice things about Jared Goff today either, by the way. Let's get to Edward in Detroit. Edward, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'll try to make this short and sweet. The Lions have a Goff problem, and it's not because Jared Goff sucks. I think that we get that's overused. Jared Goff is clearly a fine quarterback, but he was a fine quarterback 10 years ago. I had a 2016 Chrysler 300 that I was very happy with until a few months ago. It was total. And now I'm driving a 2024 Ford Explorer, and I had no idea what I was missing out on. All you got to do is watch an NFL game. Just pick a game out the hat and notice that quarterback athleticism is just a prerequisite today. It's not a novelty like watching your kid run for walk for the first time like we do with Goff when he moves. NFL teams rely on their quarterbacks to move, to make plays, to save plays, to pull a play out of the fire. And look at the conversation that we're having. It has to be perfect from Ben Johnson. It has to be perfect from the O-line. It has to be perfect for Dan Campbell just for Goff to be average. And this is it's a problem now, and it's going to be a bigger problem next year, and it's going to be a bigger problem the year after. Not because Goff sucks, but because the rest of the league has moved on from what Goff is and what the Lions can do with him. And we're going to be talking about year after year is propping him up, protecting him, putting him in the perfect situation and hoping that he's average, while guys like Stroud and eventually Caleb Williams and Love and all these young gun quarterbacks are going to be doing their thing, and we're going to be mired with Goff and his 2016 Chrysler game. That's it.
What you're saying is everybody else has heated steering wheels and backup cams and park assist and all that other stuff.
Hey, man, we're happy. We think we're doing something with, you know, a DVD player in the back seat. And everybody else is moving on to other things. And that's our problem. You know, we talk about same old Lions. Clearly, we've moved on.
Yes.
But when it comes to what a quarterback is, we're still stuck in a bygone era. And the rest of the NFL, the rest of the football world has moved
Edward.
On. There's no more Jared Goff in the NFL. There's no more Jared Goff coming into
Edward.
The NFL.
Edward.
We got the last guy.
Edward, just for time, I got to move on. I think there's some truth to what you're saying. I would also point out that this team made the NFC title game with Jared Goff last year.
Yeah.
Jared Goff is good enough for them to make another deep playoff run, including win a Super Bowl this year. But we've said this all along. O-line, play calling,
yeah.
Run game. This is part of the ingredients for them to do it.
And just because you have a mobile quarterback with the big arm, doesn't mean you're going to win. Trevor Lawrence isn't winning.
Right.
Deshaun Watson isn't winning. You could go down the list of guys. There are very, but I think it's better to state there. To me, there's only one quarterback, and maybe Josh Allen is now entering that realm because they're 2-0. He doesn't have Stephon Diggs. He doesn't have any of the weapons that he had last year. There aren't many quarterbacks who can win without all the weapons around him.
We're going to get more phone calls. And guys, I know it's a busy Lions Monday. You guys have a lot to say. Let's check in with Heather in the news.
Well, listen to this story. The Green Bay Packers' first victory of the year included center Josh Myers giving quarterback Malik Willis a little something special for his first start as a member of the team. So Myers puked all over the ball just before he snapped it to Willis. So gross on a third down play. Here's coach Matt LaFleur kind of commenting on why Willis didn't throw the ball after the game. So gross.
You got to hold your water, John. That's what they say, right?
Yes. Yeah, so the CQ exchange was still good. Center did his job.
Nasty. Donald Trump had yet another brush with a would-be assassin on Sunday, but this time the guy didn't come nearly as close, thankfully, to completing his mission. So Trump was playing golf at his club in West Palm Beach when the Secret Service noticed this AK-style rifle like sticking out of the bushes about 400 yards away. An agent did fire shots at this guy who then dropped the rifle, took off in an SUV. Not only did he leave behind the gun, but he also left behind two backpacks, a scope, and a GoPro camera. The suspect, 58-year-old Ryan Wesley Routh, was taken into custody in a neighboring community, and the FBI is now working to determine a motive. The Red Wings are mourning the death of Dan Kerstetter, a Michigan State police officer who actually spent years working with the team as an assistant equipment manager. So Kerstetter died on Sunday after he was struck by a car on the side of I-75 in Lincoln Park on Friday. He was conducting a traffic stop at the time. He was sitting in his vehicle, parked behind a semi-truck, when a Ford Explorer crashed into him. Both he and the female driver of that Explorer passed away. And Kerstetter worked for the Wings from 2012 to 2015. And they did release a statement from a Wings spokesperson that said, "We're all very sad and shaken by what has happened. He was a good friend and a vibrant part of our staff."
Thoughts of his family.
It's a tragic story. So sad. Of course. Finally, one more. The week two game between the Baltimore Ravens and Los Angeles Raiders was briefly delayed after a member of the NFL's chain gang suffered a medical emergency on the sideline. The employee collapsed with 2 minutes and 36 seconds remaining in the second quarter. CPR had to be performed, which is very serious. The employee was eventually loaded onto a stretcher, carted off the field, and according to the Ravens, the employee was alert and responsive when he left the field, and he was on his way to the hospital. So hopefully.
Scary.
Yeah.
Very scary.
That's Heather with the news. We'll have TJ Lang in an hour. More of your thoughts, phone calls, reaction to the Lions. It's 97.1.